Wrestling with siblings, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. In the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is a fight, so I gotta get right.
Right.
Can't have my back on the ropes.
Never.
This for my sister and bro. I swear that we'll make it, that's all that we hope. Like a stone cold. Get hit with a son of, that's all that she wrote. The world that we live in has made me cutthroat. I started rapping about life just to cope. Now I spit fire like Ricky Steamboat. Straight from the bottom, got so much to gain. I had to grind just to build on my name. People call me champ, I'm feeling like Dwayne. I let it smack down, here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right. Let's get started with Monday Night Raw. We are a week out from WrestleMania, and Rey Mysterio comes out, and he opens up the show. Now, keep in mind, half of the WWE roster wasn't able to make it due to travel issues, so they basically wrote the show on the fly based on who they had available at those times. So Rey Mysterio, who's a SmackDown superstar, opens up Monday Night Raw, and he comes out and he's like, it has been a crazy couple of months for me and a crazy week for me. I got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Rey. And he also got to face his son at WrestleMania, and one of the biggest matches and biggest storylines going into this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can imagine where Mysterio was feeling these past couple of weeks. Like you said, it was an emotional week for him, not only because he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, but also he had to face his own son. And, you know, his son doesn't leave him alone. You know, we all thought that after, you know, WrestleMania that I was going to be the end of this story. But no, it looks like they're going to continue. And it looks like Dominic is seeking out to get some retribution out there against Rey.
Yes, because he comes back out and he is like, you were a deadbeat dad. You were never really there for me. You didn't care for me. Now, of course, I understand Dominic's perspective because with this business, you're not really around your relatives. You have to make sacrifices, right? But at the same exact time, Dominic lives the life that he lives because of the work that his dad put in. So, you know, it kind of depends on how you want to see it. And he still keeps telling his dad, you were never really there for me. And at this point, Dominic blames Bad Bunny. Because of Bad Bunny, he was able to lose his match at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't know. I still think Rey would have won regardless of the interference from Benito or not.
Yeah, and I can see why Dominic is salty about that, just because, you know, when he was about to use the chain and the ref was distracted, what does Bad Bunny do? He comes out of commentary and he decides to, you know what, interfere and stop that. And that kind of caused a distraction for Dominic. So I can see why he's a little upset at that. Would that made the difference? I don't know. If he would have hit Rey with the chain, that probably maybe not would have made the difference, just because, you know, who Rey is and how special the match was going to be for him as well.
100% agree with you on that one. And this leads to Finn Balor versus Rey Mysterio. This was one of my favorite matches. I think their styles are very, very similar, but they're very, very different at the exact same time. And of course, you have to keep in mind, who's at the advantage? Always the Judgment Day. You can never bet against the Judgment Day. Why? Because they're always at that advantage. They have gotten so good at making sure there is at least one more person from the Judgment Day out there. And who was by themselves the entire time? Rey Mysterio. He had no backup. Where are his friends?
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that part. You know, the numbers game was going to be a huge disadvantage. And another thing too, it's rare when Rey Mysterio gets to face opponents that can match his speed, that can match pretty much the same wrestling style that he has. And Finn Balor is one of those. Why? Because he's got that almost that same size and that same speed advantage as well too. So it was going to be an even match right from the get-go. And you're right, the difference was going to be the numbers game right from the beginning. And, you know, like the Judgment Day has been doing from the beginning, they make the difference on those numbers.
100% agree. All right, let's move on to Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch defending, yes, that is correct, defending the women's tag team titles versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. The reason we got Trish Stratus to step in to defend the titles instead of Lita was because somebody attacked Lita backstage. Then she was taken to the nearest local medical facility. So Trish stepped in. Very, very interesting, because based on how this match ended, I can pretty much pinpoint who attacked Lita.
Yeah, and you could give us your conclusion at the end once we're done analyzing. And not only that, but I got to give it up to Becky Lynch, the man. You know, she was going to go out there and she was going to go defend the titles by herself and be like, you know what, I'm going to go do what I have to do to defend this and keep the title. So major props to Becky. And then Trish Stratus was like, you know what, no, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go help you out for, and I'm going to do it for my best friend, Lita.
And you have to give props to both of them. They adjusted on the fly. They were like, you know what? We've never really teamed together other than at WrestleMania. How do we make it work to where we're going to have a successful title defense? There was a couple bumps throughout the road, and I feel like Liv and Raquel capitalized on that. They were like, you know what? This is our opportunity because it's not Lita. It's not the team that they're used to. This is a completely new, different team. And we saw how this team played out in the favor of Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez.
And not only that, but it was also the disadvantage because you didn't know what this team was going to bring. Yeah, it's new, so you weren't planning to facing Trish. So that's going to completely change your strategy. And you had to pretty much change it on the fly because you didn't know what was going to happen. And I agree. You know, I think if Lita would have been there, I think the outcome of the match would have been a lot more different. I think just, you know, the fact that they weren't on the same page, and it's always hard to teaming somebody with somebody the first time. You know, you got to have that chemistry there, and they had it for quite a couple moments throughout the match, but, you know, it's hard.
It was very, very interesting because right off the beginning, Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus start isolating Liv Morgan. Why? They know that the second Raquel came into that match, that was going to be the different maker. That was going to either make or break this team. Why? Because they're not used to teaming together. You saw that lumps on the road towards this match, and Raquel used all of the power that she could to her advantage, and she capitalized. Liv Morgan, though, was the one that got very, very smart, because Liv Morgan literally stole the win from Trish Stratus, and then that led to Trish turning on Becky Lynch. Very, very interesting, because now we're going to get heel Trish potentially going into Backlash against maybe even against Becky Lynch.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. So does that, let us know what you guys think. Does that prove that it was Trish the one that attacked Lita just to get at Becky Lynch? Who knows? Let us know your conclusion on the comments below. What do you think happened, and who's the one that actually took care of Lita? Because it looks like it was Trish. I mean, and that's just us analyzing and the way things played out at the end of the match.
If I'm being completely honest, I agree. I do think it was Trish, and I'll tell you why. Since this team got together, and I'm talking about Becky and Lita, you can see Trish is kind of jealous. Why? Becky Lynch took her best friend with her. Who should have won those titles? Trish and Lita. And this is me watching it from a Trish perspective, right? They deserve those championships. And when Lita got it with Becky, I think it kind of triggered something inside of Trish where she was like, no, this is wrong. And she was really never okay with it. Because if you look at her facial expression since the beginning, you can tell she is absolutely not a fan of that team.
No, I agree. And I think the deal part would have been to have Trish and Lita go for those tag team titles. But again, you know, Becky convinced Lita to do it. And, you know, I can see why Trish did it. You know, those are the factors right there. And, you know, she kind of was like, you know what? Me and Lita are the ones that deserve this, not Becky. And
no, I agree. All right, let's move on to Bobby Lashley versus Bronson Reed. This was a fairly quick match. I think we're getting a different side of Bobby Lashley. He's hungry. He's just going after everybody. If I were the Raw roster, this is the guy I'd be most afraid of.
Definitely agree with you. I think Bobby Lashley is another level. You know, he's out there causing mayhem, and he's taking on whatever gets his way. And I mean, Bronson Reed, you know, he's no joke. And what a great way to make his name against the Almighty, you know, Texas Strengths. I think Bobby Lashley finally met someone that's probably even more stronger than him. And I mean, Bobby Lashley was impressive today too.
I also feel like they have no direction for Bobby Lashley. I think he's just kind of there, and they just find a random opponent, and that's who they put him up against. But I kind of like it because it's solidifying who he is, and he's slowly going through the entire roster, getting himself up to the top where it is that he's supposed to be the main event.
Yeah, he's pretty much starting again from ground zero and building himself back up to the title again. You know, he's going to have to go through everybody again to, who knows, you know, maybe get to Roman Reigns. I would really like to see him against Roman. I think he would be the one that could give him a hell of a fight.
100% agree. All right, let's move on to Cody Rhodes. And he said there was a lot going on over the last basically 2 weeks, because he goes into WrestleMania, he thinks he's going to win this match, comes out, didn't win, and then gets attacked by Brock Lesnar last week for no reason. he gave Brock Lesnar the opportunity to team with him, asked Brock, you know what, I need you to team up with me. Brock comes out, signs himself up, and then all of a sudden he just attacks him. So Cody is kind of in the mentality of, like, what is going on? What happened? Where do we go from here?
Yeah. No, and I agree. And I think also Cody was going out there and trying to find answers from Brock. You know, trying to figure out why he did it and why he attacked him. And we can't figure it out. I mean, you know, he mentioned that it was because of his placement on the WrestleMania card. I don't think it was that. I think Brock is going more towards, like, you know what? It should have been me main eventing again, or, you know, he probably siding with Paul Heyman. You know the relationship he has with Paul Heyman.
Speaking of Paul Heyman, it's very, very interesting because Cody says a line, correct me if I'm wrong, but somewhere along the lines of his advocate is listening to this right now. And he says it in reference to Brock Lesnar, which is very, very interesting because we know that Paul Heyman is working with Roman Reigns.
And not only that, also keep in mind, right? He's working with Roman Reigns, but also, you know what? He probably was trying to impress the Tribal Chief and be like, you know what, Tribal Chief? I took care of this. I hired Brock Lesnar to do the dirty work for us, you know? Hey, and if that was the case, you know Brock Lesnar's going to want something in exchange. You know what that's going to be.
A title shot opportunity.
So Brock Lesnar's probably looking at two faces here. And you know what? This is going to benefit me at the long run if I side with Paul Heyman. Or, you know, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman always has something up his sleeve. So you don't know. You know, is he getting tired of Roman Reigns? Who knows? We'll see.
No, I agree. I think Heyman has a lot more to do with this than he's leading on. And I also want to mention something that Cody says. He says, people say I have to earn the opportunity yet again to face Roman Reigns. Why? I already earned it. So it's very, very interesting because now he has Brock Lesnar in his way. We know Seth Rollins wants a championship opportunity as well. Cody Rhodes had the opportunity, went into WrestleMania, lost. From my understanding, you go to the back of the line. But he's trying to earn his spot back, and he's trying to get through Brock Lesnar so that he can prove to Roman, you know what, I deserve another opportunity. And if I were Roman, I'd be very, very scared because he almost had him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Solo, I think we would have got a new champ. You know, I think it was, he was this close, and, you know, that distraction and Solo coming out and doing the Samoan Spike was what did it for Cody. I think he was the one that was going to do it, and I can see why he wants his rematch and why he's entitled. You know what? I was this close. I think he was closer than anybody. I think the closest one that has ever been to beating him was Kevin Owens.
Yep. I think that's the closest he's gotten. And we hadn't seen a match like that. Somebody treat Roman the way that Cody treated him. We'll get more into that when we get into the WrestleMania reviews. But I think, rightfully so, he deserves another championship opportunity. But to get there, he has to get through Brock Lesnar first. All right, let's move on to Alpha Academy versus the Usos. Man, every single time the Usos step foot into that ring, they just knock it out of the park. Those guys, if I'm not mistaken, delivered 23 super kicks.
Not only that, they proved why they were the undisputed tag team champions and why they were they had the longest title reign, you know, in history. Because of stuff like that, you know, they were able to manage to come back and prove to everybody why they're the greatest, you know, pretty much the greatest tag team in WWE.
Aside from that, you would think that the fact that they lost the undisputed tag team championships would mean that they won't be getting along anymore. They are getting along just great. I think they're at the point where it clicked in and they were like, we're no longer champions. We got to start from zero because why? We have to get back to the position where we were with Roman Reigns. Keep in mind, the Bloodline had all of the gold at some point except for the United States and the Intercontinental Championships. So there is a lot of pressure, I feel, from the Usos. And for there being a lot of pressure, I think they perform at the level that they do. It's absolutely incredible.
I think this is going to make it more dangerous because they're willing to do whatever it takes to get to the top again. And they're going to go through anybody. But I was really impressed by the Alpha Academy. You know, I think they're a great tag team. I think Otis and Chad Gabriel are meant for each other in this tag division. And I've seen their matches. And don't get me wrong, they were champions before, tag team champs, so they're not new to this game, but tonight was very special because I think tonight they pushed the Usos to the limit. You know, we had a couple near falls, and I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're actually going to beat the Usos. And I think out of all the matches that Otis and, you know, Chad Gable had, I think this is probably the best one that they had, and what better way to do it than the former tag team champions.
I think we had a different side of Gable here. I think he was really trying to prove something to not only the Bloodline, to the Usos, but the entire tag team division. Why we have new champions now, you know? There is opportunity there. Before, you had the Usos and that was it, and nobody was going to take them down. Now they're back to getting the opportunity, and you really do have to give credit to the Alpha Academy. They really showed their own and stood their ground against the Usos.
They had a lot of confidence in this match, and you could tell Otis and Chad Gable, especially Chad Gable, he was extra confident on everything that he was doing, and he really got the crowd involved as well too, and I think that was very, very key in this match for both of them.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. Let's move on to Io Sky versus Piper Niven versus Mitchin/Mia Yim. This is very, very interesting because we weren't supposed to get Io Sky. We were supposed to get Bayley in this match, but then Dakota and Io got upset and they were like, well, it's always you who gets all of the opportunity. Why don't we get the opportunity? It should have been one of us. And so then she gets replaced with Io Sky. I do have something to say, though. I don't think Bayley has gotten all of the opportunity, because keep in mind, she was the one that got basically Io and Dakota the championship opportunity to become tag team champions. They became tag team champions. Meanwhile, Bayley was trying to gain either Raw or SmackDown gold. So I don't think she's gotten all of the opportunity. I think she worked it out and made it work for Io Sky, but you can tell that Bayley was not happy in that post-interview, and you can tell during that match where she's just like, wow, all right, Io won.
Yeah, because she knew that this was her opportunity, that it was going to be her if she was going to do it, not to underestimate, you know, Piper and Mia Chin, but it was a pretty flexible thing for Bayley, for the experience that she had, you know, so she knew this was going to be the perfect opportunity for her to capitalize it, get back into the title picture, and, you know, face Bianca Belair, because keep in mind, Bayley was the only one that defeated Bianca Belair, so she knows that she could do it, and this was it, you know, and, you know, she should be happy because it was one of her friends, one of her tag team partners, but at the same time, I see why she's a little jelly, if you want to call it that way.
But keep in mind, it's Bayley. We saw it with Sasha Banks. We've seen it with any tag team partner that she's ever had. She betrays them. Why? Because they get to the point where she wants to be at. Now, mind you, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it. She 100% does. But we can never trust Bayley with a tag team. And I can already tell you, if they don't turn on her, she's going to do it within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Because I can guarantee she's going to cost Io Sky that championship opportunity. Why? Because Bayley thinks she deserves it.
Yeah, and that's going to be the downfall of Damage Control, which I think it's a great women's faction, and I think they should keep it for the long run, because you really don't see a lot of those factions, and I think Bayley being the leader of this faction would do great things to the division.
And Mia Yim, you can't underestimate what she does. She is a high flyer. She goes out there and gives 100% every single time, and she delivers. Every single time there is something new, and I never know what to expect from her because she always gives me something new to talk about.
And I like her style. You know, me and you had discussed this before, right before, you know, she had gotten released and before she got called up to NXT. When she was in NXT, she kind of gave us those like Lita vibes. So I'm kind of glad they brought her back to her regular outfit where she came out with the jeans and kind of like, you know, this look with the hat. You know, I kind of like that vibe that she's giving now. And, you know, I think she has a lot of potential. And I think if they book her right and they do things correctly with her, I think she's going to be a huge, massive star that I think we're in desperate need as well.
I agree. I think she's going to be one of the biggest stars. They just have to do it correctly going forward. All right, let's move on to the main event, which was Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens. Very, very interesting because right off the bat, we get Solo going right after Kevin Owens. He's not wasting any time. Obviously, we know who's at the advantage. Solo. The Bloodline always has the advantage. But Kevin Owens, he goes out there. He's fired up. He's determined. He knows what he wants. And he knows that in order for him to finish the story, he has to take out Solo.
Yeah, and he knew what he was getting himself into, you know, and just how he always says, Kevin Owens fight, and he knew he was going to get in a fight not only with Solo, but with Jay and Jimmy as well, too. So he was prepared.
And keep in mind, the Bloodline knew that Kevin Owens had no backup. Nobody was going to come out and help him out. Why? There was no Riddle, there was no Sammy, because they couldn't make it due to travel issues. So they knew right off the bat, we can isolate Kevin Owens as much as we want. And that's exactly what they did, especially towards the end of the match. But to their surprise, we get Sami Zayn and Matt Riddle coming out to help them out. Now, where was Cody? Cody was the one that brought Sammy and KO back together. And he still's got beef with the Bloodline. But yet, he was not out there trying to help out his friend Kevin Owens. Come on, Cody.
I think he has other things on his mind. I think he's too focused on Brock Lesnar, on what he's going to do and how he's going to get redemption against towards Brock Lesnar. But if it went under circumstances where, you know, Brock Lesnar wouldn't have done that to Cody, I think he would have gone out. And I think he's been taking a lot of abuse in the ring that he just didn't want to go out there and put himself, you know, at greater risk. I think that's a huge factor why he also didn't go out as well. And I think the Bloodline didn't want to get the win. I think they just wanted to go out there and just punish Kevin Owens and try to take him out, you know?
I can understand that. I can see why Cody wouldn't be out there, but it still would have been nice to have... Mind you, he didn't need to be up there because there was only three of them. There was no Roman Reigns, and possibly if Roman would have been there, he would have came out. But at that point, it would have been a numbers disadvantage against the Bloodline, which you never really ever have the opportunity to. All right, you guys, that is all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today, because this week we will be bringing in all the Mania content to this channel right here. So stay tuned, subscribe, like, comment, share. Let everybody know that we are back, and yeah, we're going to come back with Mania.
So stay tuned. We got a lot of content for you guys this week. You know, we're excited. We're back after, you know, a couple weeks off. It was Mania and all that stuff. It was hectic. Great Mania though, great Raw and SmackDown as well too. But you know, we'll give you guys a review on both nights of WrestleMania, and we'll let you guys know what we thought of both nights as well.
Yes, and obviously, you know, you can interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, DM us. We will get back to you guys, to as many as we can. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, I want to know what does WWS stand for.
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time.